We do come out of God's Word this morning. We're continuing forward in our series in Luke's Gospel. This morning we are in Luke chapter 17, reading together verses 20 through 37. So I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in the Pew Bible in front of you to Luke chapter 17, and we'll read together verses 20 through 37. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in his house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." They said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come now to your word, we ask for your help. We ask for you to send to us your spirit of truth, who would lead us into all truth, that as we come to your word, our eyes would be opened, that as we come to your word, our hearts would be softened by your spirit, they would see Christ and the glory of his kingdom, and our hearts would sing in praise and thanksgiving for the hope that we have today, and the hope that we have for tomorrow. Would you speak to us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you gather around the dinner table this Thursday, undoubtedly somebody will ask the question, "What are you thankful for?" And the responses will be various. "I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my health." But I would venture a guess that one of the things that you will not hear around the dinner table is this: "I'm thankful for the kingdom of God." It's an abstract concept. It's hard for us to get our hands around it. It's hard for us perhaps to even understand. It feels foreign and unfamiliar. But that's the subject of our passage from God's Word this morning. And not only that, the kingdom of God is one of the key points of emphasis for Luke in his gospel. And so I propose to you that although it might be hard for us to get our hands on as the people of God, the hope of the kingdom, the hope of the kingdom of God should be something that we are immensely thankful for. It should be something that we treasure. And it is my job this morning to prove that proposition to you. There are many details in this passage that are hard to understand, that are tricky and difficult, and time fails us to go through every one line by line. But what we see from this passage is clear, that the kingdom of God that is present and is coming is good news that we should be thankful for. And we'll look at that together this morning. We'll prove that point this morning so that perhaps as you sit around the dinner table on Thursday afternoon, you will feel empowered and perhaps even brave enough to say to your family and friends, I am thankful for the kingdom of God. We'll deal with this passage in two parts. The hope of the kingdom of God for today, and the hope of the kingdom of God for tomorrow. What Christ instructs us on from this passage is that there is a sense in which the hope of the kingdom is already present with us. And yet, there is a sense in which we're still waiting for the fulfillment of that hope. It's not yet here, fully and finally. You and I live in the in-between. We have the hope of the kingdom of God today, even as we wait for the hope of the kingdom of God tomorrow. We have the hope of the kingdom of God already, but we realize all the promises of the kingdom have not yet been fulfilled. And so we'll consider both of these aspects of the kingdom together this morning, the already and the not yet. And in doing so, we'll seek to deepen our joy, deepen our thanksgiving for Christ and for his kingdom that is at work among us. All right, so in what sense is the kingdom of God already present? In what sense is the kingdom of God already present? In what sense can we have the hope of the kingdom today? Look back with me at verse 20. It says that Jesus was being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. Now, Jesus taught extensively about the kingdom to his disciples, to the crowds, and just as a brief review, as we speak about the kingdom of God, we're speaking about the reality of God's rule and reign in this world by his word and by his spirit. A reality in which sin and Satan are defeated. Wrong things are made right. God's people are set free from the slavery to the kingdom of this world. All of the sad things becoming untrue. Christ preached extensively about this kingdom. In fact, he demonstrated the power of this kingdom in his miracles. That's what they were a sign of, that the kingdom had come when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when he cast out demons. These were all signs that the kingdom of God was coming. In fact, they were signs that the kingdom was already here. And yet the Pharisees still have this question for Jesus. Where is it? Where is the kingdom, Jesus? When is it coming? You've talked so much about it. Yes, you've demonstrated some of its power. When will it finally and completely be here? When will God's rule and reign be perfectly manifested among us? You see, what the Pharisees wanted more than anything from Jesus was an external sign. They wanted a sign to look forward to. They wanted him to tell them what to look for in the stars, what to look for in the weather, what to look for in current events, so they would know, all right, today is the day. The Roman authorities are getting driven out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and the kingdom of God is coming finally and perfectly. They wanted a sign that they could hope in, that they could cling to, today. But Jesus tells them at the end of verse 20, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. Meaning, don't look for worldly signs. Don't look for worldly observable signs as your hope in the kingdom of God today. If that is your hope for the kingdom of God today, you will have no hope. Because the kingdom of God is not coming through observable signs. It's not coming in a way that you might expect it to come. It is not present today in that way that you may want it to be present. The Pharisees, here's what they wanted. They wanted worldly observable signs because in their heart of hearts they wanted a worldly observable kingdom. They simply wanted their circumstances to change. They wanted their circumstances to be better. They wanted worldly observable signs because they wanted a worldly observable kingdom. But that is not the way that the kingdom of God is present today. That is not where our hope is today. Well, then where is it? Jesus explains. He says, "For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." You see, the Pharisees had been looking for signs of the kingdom. And yet, ironically, they had missed the sign of the kingdom. The one that's right in their midst. Jesus Christ, their King, the Son of God. All while looking for observable signs of the kingdom, they'd missed the King of the kingdom who was in their midst. What we learn from this is that as the people of God, what is our great hope today? What is our great hope as the people of God today? What do we cling to today? We're tempted to cling to what we see, aren't we? We're tempted to cling to external signs. We're tempted to cling to what we can observe. We want signs, don't we? We want signs that God is for us, signs that God is with us, signs that our life is going the way that it's supposed to be, signs that everything's going according to plan. We want those external signs as something to cling to. But beloved, that's not what we're supposed to cling to. Our great hope as the people of God, our great hope in the kingdom of God, is the King. Our great hope as the people of God is that Jesus Christ is on His throne and He is ruling and He is reigning in our midst by His Word and by His Spirit. That's our hope. That's what we cling to, that Jesus Christ is King. He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and He is accomplishing His purposes in us today for our good and for His glory. Even when it's hard to see, even when it's impossible to see, even if we cannot observe it, Jesus is on the throne. Friends, the reality of the kingdom of God is something to treasure. It's something to be thankful for. Because Jesus Christ is King, because He is on the throne, because He is in our midst by His Word and Spirit, we have a sure hope, a certain hope. A hope that's beyond what our eyes can see, beyond what we can observe. A hope that cannot be shaken by the shifting sands of this world. And so when we come under suffering, here's our hope. Jesus is on His throne. When the earth gives way and the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, Jesus is on His throne. When that worst case scenario happens, Jesus is on His throne, His kingdom is not shaken, and He is in our midst. That is a reality to be thankful for. And yet, we are still waiting, aren't we? The kingdom has not come finally. It has not come fully. The kingdom is already here, but it's also not yet here. And you and I live every day in that tension. So much of the misery and hardship of life is lived in that tension. So Christ goes on to explain to His disciples. He says, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." That word that Christ uses here for desire, it's a strong word that He uses. It describes a feeling of deep longing, a yearning, even a desperation. Part of being a follower of Christ is living in the tension of longing for the coming of Christ, longing for the fullness of his kingdom, desiring to see just one of the days of the Son of Man where everything is made right, where all of the sad things come untrue, and not yet having those desires fulfilled. And make no mistake, that tension is uncomfortable. It's painful. We will feel, as we wait, we will feel the strain of sin and suffering that afflict us in this life. We'll experience the pain of broken families, broken relationships, illness, injury. And in that tension, in that pain, we'll long to see the days of Christ's return, crying out, "How long, O Lord? Come quickly, Lord Jesus." We feel that tension. Sometimes our hearts just cry out, "I want Jesus to come back. I want to see his kingdom. I want to be set free." We live in this tension. And because of this tension, we will be tempted oftentimes to turn aside to the right or to the left after counterfeit hopes, counterfeit assurances. We'll be tempted to look for some sort of earthly assurance to relieve that tension as we await the coming of the kingdom. As Christ says in verse 23, they will say to you, "Look here," or "Look there." Do not go out or follow them. Ever we are tempted, as the people of God, to exchange eternal hope for temporary hope, eternal assurance for temporary assurance, heavenly hope for worldly hope. People will say to us, "Look here, here's your hope. Look here, look to this political candidate for hope. They will make everything right. They will set everything right in this world. Trust in them." People will say to us, "Look here. Look to wealth, look to prosperity, look to success for hope. God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to establish your kingdom here. Cling to this world for your hope." But that's not what we look forward to as the people of God. We don't look to temporary answers for eternal problems. We don't hope in earthly kingdoms, earthly prosperity, earthly achievements. What do we hope in? What do we look forward to as the people of God? Is it just a change in circumstances? Is it perhaps just that tomorrow things are going to be a little bit better than they are today? Is that what we have to look forward to? No, our great assurance, our great hope, beloved, is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back to bring his kingdom fully. Our hope for today is that Jesus Christ is on his throne. Our hope for tomorrow is that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he will bring the fullness of his kingdom with him. He will renew this earth perfectly when he returns. So what? Are we just supposed to lean back and wait? To resign ourselves to a life of pain and suffering, perhaps even just to give up and wait for eternity? Are we just supposed to lean back and wait? How should the reality of Christ's return impact the way that we live today? Well, we've just seen one way. It totally changes where we place our hope, not in this world. We don't place our hope in earthly signs or earthly kingdoms. We place our hope in Christ. But there is another way that this hope of the kingdom is to work itself out in us. It is that as we wait, we are to live in the eager expectation of his return. Our lives are, in fact, to be shaped by the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming back. We're not to look around desperately for signs of his coming. We're to cling in faith to the promise of his coming. always living in the reality that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. To say it another way, we're not to live as the world lives. We're not to live as Christ describes in verses 26 through 30. We're not to live as the people did in the days of Noah and Lot, living as if God is not a God of justice, living as if God will not keep his word, eating, drinking, being merry, in blissful ignorance. Living perhaps as if this world is all that there is, living as if God is not coming back to judge the earth and to renew all things. You see, to live that way, beloved, to live that way in the light of Christ's return, in the light of Christ's coming kingdom, that is supremely foolish. Because he is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And as our passage describes, again, time fails us to go through all of these details here. But what is clear from this passage, what our passage describes, is that Jesus is coming back. His return will be sudden, it will be unexpected, and it will catch us by surprise. But at that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As our passage describes, God will gather in his elect. Some will be gathered to resurrection joy. Some will be gathered to everlasting judgment. And Christ will renew all things. He will remake a new heavens and a new earth, and he will rule and reign here forever with us. So how then should we live? How should we live in light of this unshakable kingdom that is promised to us and is here today? How should we live in light of this unshakable kingdom of Christ that is here today and is promised in fullness for tomorrow? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, he says, "Therefore, let us be grateful." Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. How do we live in light of the kingdom that is coming? We live with hearts of gratitude, thanksgiving, and worship, offering to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, for he is worthy, and he is coming soon. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to see the glory of your kingdom in its fullness. Father, it is coming, and as we await that day, Lord, we await with eager expectation. Lord, give us hearts that long to see the day of Christ. Transform our hearts and lives today, Lord, as we wait, that we would be a waiting pilgrim people, realizing that the best is yet to come. Sharing the good news of Christ with the lost, telling the good news of the kingdom. Lord, give us hearts of thanksgiving. Give us grateful hearts for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Move in us, we pray, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.